after 7 p.m., so I'm going to call this meeting of the Environment and Land Use Committee to order. Before we do the roll call, I am going to remind people that since we are now recording these meetings digitally, it is very important that you speak into your microphone, because otherwise there will be nothing but silence. So please keep in mind that you should do that. The clerk would call the roll.
Ms. Anderson?
Here.
Mr. Dennis is absent. Mr. Gladney?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Langenheim?
Here.
Mr. Kurtz?
Here.
Mr. Mosier is absent.
Here.
I wanted to speak into the microphone.
Sorry. Oh, okay. Mr. Schrader is absent. Ms. Wysocki?
Here.
Quorum established.
I need a motion to approve the agenda for the evening.
Absolutely.
Motion second. By Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Mr. Gladney. Oh, Mr. Mosier is with us.
Who did what to whom there?
Okay. I need a motion to approve the minutes. Let's take the open session of September 8th, 2008. Is there a motion to do so?
Moved.
Motion by Mr. Gladney.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Kurtz. Is there any discussion of the minutes? Ms. Anderson.
This is the September 8th, right?
Yes.
It's got me present and absent. And I was absent.
Okay. We'll make note of that.
Also states that for Mr. Mosier as well.
Were you here on the 8th, Mr. Mosier? No? Okay. Any other changes, corrections?
Ms. Moline at the September meeting? Okay, she listed as present.
She had not. Let me see. Did we have her resignation?
She left.
We had that before the Otter
yes,
County Board.
That's meeting. Right. She, yeah. She was no, yeah, officially she was no longer a member of this committee. Right.
Okay.
Any other changes to the minutes? Hearing nothing, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. You should have a packet with two sets of closed session minutes. Is there a motion to keep them closed?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Langenheim.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Gladney. Please note that Mr. Schrader is now with us. All those in favor of the closed session minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Mr. Langenheim made the first motion. Second by Mr. Gladney. In your packet, you have a correspondence from the Kaskaskia Watershed Association, which has to do with their perspective on localized water retention. As I read the letter, basically it is more informational than anything else. Although I think that certainly Champaign County abides by many of the suggestions that are made in that letter regarding water retention. And I would certainly entertain a motion to authorize Mr. Hall to respond to the Kaskaskia Watershed Association, pointing out what it is that Champaign County already does in this particular regard. Motion made by Mr. Langenheim, seconded by Ms. Anderson. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Public participation. We do have Wayne and Patty Buzboom here in regard to item 10 on your agenda. And I think what we will do is invite them to contribute when we get to that item on the agenda, since they really don't want to make a statement at this time. Okay. Updates, Ms. Cheveria.
We are still in stage two of the Land Resource Management Plan, working on the goals, objectives, and policies for Champaign County. This stage is taking a little longer than we originally anticipated by the project calendar because the steering committee is doing such a thorough job of going through these proposed goals, objectives, and policies that relate to land use for the county. We expect it to originally be done by August or September of this year. We anticipate now that it could be December or January for the policy stage to come to completion. It just depends on how long they take to get through the different policies. We want them to get it done well and right, and we'd love for them to get it done on time as well, but we think that getting it done right is more of a priority. So we're still working with them on that, and the next meeting is November 13th at 7:30 a.m. in the John Dimmitt Room over in the Regional Planning Commission. And we're going to ask of them to once again attend extra meetings to try to keep this project on schedule. Possibility of having 2 to 3 extra meetings sometime between November and January. We have also invited them to provide input on the policies by October 31st if they have something that can help us move forward more productively at the next meeting. We would love to hear in advance so maybe we can just move the process along a little bit more. We are also, as staff, working on some things in that were originally scheduled for FY09 next year right now to fill in the time until the policies catch up with us. So overall, the project is going well, I think, and I think we're going to have a really good outcome at the end.
Okay. Let's move on to the hazard mitigation plan.
The hazard mitigation plan is in the risk assessment stage, which is stage two, and I believe that the planning committee for that project has just received the draft of the risk assessment process. And they are seeking comments on, staff is seeking comments on that draft within a few weeks. And work has begun on stage three, which is mitigation planning for the project. Are there any questions about either project?
Okay. Item C.
There's no new information on 6C or 6D at this time. And I think probably at this point there's no need to even carry these items on the agenda. I think the veto session is over. So that's all I have to report on that.
Okay. So we will be dropping items C and D from the agenda because basically if these items are to move forward, they would have to be reintroduced into the General Assembly with the start of the new session in January, in which case they will get assigned different numbers anyhow. So I think we can pretty much declare these items as dead. Okay. We have a couple of recreation and entertainment licenses.
Move approval of both of them.
Both of them. Thank you. Mr. Mosier, seconded by Mr. Schrader. Is there any discussion on either or both of these? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is the request to amend the zoning ordinance to establish the pipeline impact radius. There is some text in your packet. The more veteran members of this committee will remember that we have addressed, talked about this issue before, and the planning and zoning staff has now come forward with some verbiage to, I think, to express the intent of the committee regarding how we should be dealing with pipeline situations on zoning cases. Mr. Hall, you want to say something more?
Well, I just the memo points out that this amendment that's recommended by the ZBA does not achieve everything that the committee requested back in March of 07. It does not prohibit by right lots or dwellings from the pipeline impact radius. It does require that notice be given by the zoning administrator for by right developments, and also that we give a point of contact to the pipe for the pipeline, the relevant pipeline operator. That was based on the evidence at the public hearing, not just from concerned landowners, but from concerned pipeline operators. They were concerned that something that strong might actually make it more difficult to acquire easements in the future for necessary pipelines. So given that, given the strong opposition that was expressed from some parts of the county, and given that there's already a lot of residences in the pipeline impact radius, I went ahead and revised the request to what you see, and in the hopes of just getting something on the books that would, you know, my biggest concern in this whole process has been for those people who have proposed rural residential overlay map amendments in pipeline impact radius. That's been my biggest concern. So from a staff level, we're comfortable with what ZBA recommended. Certainly ZBA is comfortable, but it is it's your call to recommend this to the county board or send it back at this point. The second thing it doesn't do is it does not prohibit lots in the rural residential overlay zoning district from being partially located in an impact radius. Now, it does require that they have to have ample buildable area outside of the impact radius, and it prohibits anything from being constructed in the impact radius except for driveways. This goes back to a concern raised by an attorney in the public hearing. The attorney made the argument that if you're going to allow new streets to be built in the pipeline impact radius, you have to allow new driveways. And he convinced the state's attorney of that. So this change is based on the direction of the state's attorney. And again, that was a direction that the ZBA followed. That's optional for you, but that is what your attorney recommended. I think that the amendment that's in front of you will add, there's no doubt about it, it adds significant new requirements in the zoning ordinance. Folks that want to do RROs in the future know exactly what they have to do. And it's, you know, on the other hand, we're not going to be creating a lot of ill will on the parts of the folks who just buy a lot and come in and get a permit. They're going to find out that there's a pipeline impact radius on their land, and they're going to know what that means, and they'll have the opportunity to hopefully go out and revise their lot if they need to, or if it's big enough, they'll know where they can build safely. So I think the amendment does a lot, even though it doesn't do everything that the committee originally asked for.
I'd move if we send it to the county board for approval.
The last thing I want to say is text amendments normally reside here at ELUC for a month, just in the case that there's some municipality or township who wants to oppose it. Now, I don't expect anybody's going to oppose this, but that is our standard procedure. So it would be good to make a motion indicating that, you know, you'd want to forward this to the county board, but
not until November. Is there a second to Mr. Mosier's motion? Seconded by Mr. Schrader. Discussion. Mr. Weibel?
Mr. Hall, just for clarification. So what you're saying is if I had a lot that's partially impacted by the radius, I could build on the part that's not affected by it.
Well, if it's a by right lot, even more importantly, if the entire lot is in the pipeline impact radius, you could build wherever you wanted to.
I could build right on top of it if I wanted to?
Yep. Well, you can't build in the easement.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's already one of our current requirements. You can't build in the easement.
Right. What's the easement for pipelines? Is that 15 feet or from the center?
Well, for the interstate pipelines, they're generally 50 feet on either side.
So we're talking about 100 foot.
Yeah.
That must be okay.
However, for the high-pressure gas pipelines up in the Manlove gas storage field, depends on how many. There's actually, as it happens, a lot of debate about how wide those easements are. And
I wouldn't be surprised. As I mentioned before, I did own property up there one time.
Okay. So
if you didn't have any property, you probably had it on one of your lanes.
Yeah.
Because your lane's often, your driveway's often same as the access lanes, too. So.
Yeah. But in testimony in previous cases, it's been said that those easements generally are 50 feet wide up there also.
Thank you.
Ms. Anderson.
So if people are made aware that this is in a pipeline radius, if some incident would occur, you know, a malfunction of some sort, I don't know what that would be, but could they sue the county in any fashion?
Well, they'd have no, I believe they would have no standing to sue the county, but I think that means that they could certainly initiate a lawsuit. But there's no risk for the county here. In fact, this puts you in a better position in that regard than your current ordinance.
Is there any other discussion, questions? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. This will not be on the consent agenda.
Well, it's not even going to the county board.
Right. Till next month. Okay. Next item. This is zoning case 630-AM-08. This basically is amending the zoning map to change a district from Ag 1 to Business 1. So Mr. Busboom can do business. Is there a motion?
Moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Schrader, seconded by Mr. Mosier. Discussion. Mr. Weibel.
How big is the plot of land in this case?
2.6 acres.
2.6. And currently it's being used just for agricultural purposes, this shed. I'm just wondering, in the new scenario, are they going to use both sheds as part of their business?
Yeah, it's our understanding that Mr. Ringfield plans to build an addition, and he'll use both sheds.
And I'm wondering, I assume that some of this the production activity takes place at another site, so it's all going to be here. So are they moving their where they now their business to the site from another site? And where's that? The site's on North Cunningham?
Yes.
Okay. Can you describe what type is it? Are they just my assumption is that they're taking pieces of metal and welding together to make these harrows, right? Or drag, as I would call it back in Wisconsin.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Yes.
No further questions.
Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, moving right along. Next is a discussion on the wind turbine development. I believe you have at your desk a memo from Mr. Hall regarding the status of our effort to move in that direction. John, you want to say something about this?
Yes. Since the last meeting, we've reviewed 11 other zoning ordinances and gotten familiar with their requirements for wind farms. We have finally realized that Ford County has zoning, and in fact, Ford County adopted largely intact the model ordinance requirements that we proposed last month and included a copy of in last month's ELUC packet. Now, I gave you another copy of that same model ordinance tonight because as we went through these other county ordinances, we were not looking at just the wind farm requirements, but we're also looking at how they regulate rural development in general. Something like 9 of the counties that have adopted specific requirements for wind farms, 4 of them, the minimum lot size in the rural district is 40 acres. And the key components of the wind farm model ordinance that ensure land use compatibility in the rural area are the required separation of 1,000 feet between a wind turbine tower and any adjacent primary structure like a dwelling, and the separation between a wind turbine tower and the perimeter of the development. And that generally is limited to only no more than 549 feet. And what that means is if you've got a county that allows ongoing residential development of any extent around a wind farm, you could have, normally it's 1,000 feet is what's accepted for proper separation between a tower and an existing dwelling. But if you're only requiring 549 feet of buffer around the perimeter of the wind farm, as people build houses outside the wind farm, that they might fall within the 1,000-foot barrier, which is generally allowable if they sign a waiver saying it's okay by me to be this close to the wind farm. But if you've got an adjacent property owner that has only 10 or 15 acres and their entire acreage is within that 1,000-foot buffer, I think you've got a problem because then that person can say that their entire property is within what would otherwise be a 1,000-foot buffer, and their property now is worth less. You still let them sell lots, but they're actually going to be worth less. So of the 9 counties we looked at, I think Sangamon is the only county that has done this thing rationally. And Sangamon actually requires, it's the most logical. There's a question about whether it's real rational. They require not a 549-foot separation around the perimeter of the wind farm. They require 1,200 feet. So in Sangamon County, there is no adjacent property owner that's going to really be affected by a wind farm because he's going to be assured of having at least 1,200 feet plus separation between any wind turbine and where he sells one of his lots. Now, The other thing about Sangamon County is their minimum lot size is 40 acres, so it's really inconceivable that someone on a 40-acre lot couldn't build outside of the 1,000 feet. But in Champaign County, if you've got 40 acres, you can create four lots. And if most of that 40 acres ends up being less than 1,000 feet from a wind turbine, I, again, think that we could have a problem with that landowner saying, hey, you've affected the value of my land. So I have to say, we've gotten familiar with 11 counties. I didn't find anybody that had a good system of these setbacks that we could copy. We need to figure out what we want to do on our own. And I think something less than what Sangamon County requires would be adequate. The question is how much less, because the larger this buffer becomes, the more difficult it's going to be to establish a wind farm. And I believe that wind farms are generally compatible in the rural area, but that's only possible if you identify the proper separation between adjacent dwellings and the wind turbines. And I haven't been able to do that yet. The other thing is, when we start fiddling with the 1,000-foot buffer that's recommended in the model ordinance, we don't know what the basis of that 1,000 feet was. We'd like to contact the authors of this model ordinance and actually see what they were thinking of when they established a 1,000-foot buffer. We all know that in when you're in a rural area in Illinois, a quarter mile away from you, there could be a 2,500-unit animal operation established on any day of the week, and you'd have nothing to say about it. This county board would have nothing to say about it. So clearly, in a rural area, your expectation of nothing happening doesn't extend more than a quarter mile away from where you live. Plenty of things can happen within that distance. The question is, how close could it be to you if it's just a 500-foot-tall wind turbine? Need it be 1,000 feet away? And I think that's a reasonable expectation. And if you think that's a reasonable expectation, we have to create a set of buffers that will result in that. Now, on the other hand, I think that if much of this land that would be within the 1,000 feet, if it's just always going to be farmland, it doesn't even have to be 1,000 feet. So it's not like this 1,000-foot buffer needs to go around the whole wind farm. We really only need it where there are smaller tracts of land that might be unduly burdened if they're too close to the wind turbines. So we're still working on that. We're going to contact the authors of the model ordinance and see what kinds of considerations they had in mind when they said the 1,000 feet. The other thing that we identified in reviewing those 11 other ordinances is, I almost hate to say it, but we've identified about 13 other things that we think you should include in the amendment to our own zoning ordinance. So attachment A to the new memo has 13 additional things that we think you should add to the ordinance. And some of these things are referred back to individual counties. Some of them were so common that I didn't bother to mention a reference county. But in addition to reviewing the ordinances, we've also reviewed as many actual findings for wind farms as we could get copies of, because almost every county, once they go through the trouble of adding the requirements in their ordinance, they still end up adding special things anytime they approve a wind farm. And some of these things came from those findings. So, you know, I wish we had a specific recommendation for you tonight. We don't. I'm pretty confident we should have one next month. I think, you know, at the last month, I explained that we were trying to settle on whether recommending just a county board special use permit or a special use permit and map amendment approach. Frankly, I think that getting these separations right is more important than a map amendment. So we're continuing to work on that, and I hope to have a whole package for you at the next meeting. This is just taking a lot of time to to work through the logic of all these various separations and make sure that it works for Champaign County. The other thing I can report is that we don't have any application to date for a wind farm. And we haven't had any new contacts. So that's the latest.
There's no urgency.
Well, I'm feeling urgency.
I know you're
I want to get this thing done, but the good news is we don't have an application pending right now.
Mr. Langenheim.
Do you happen to know whether the Chicago Legal Clinic, which is the author of this, is related to any trade association or environmental group?
I don't know, Ralph. That's one thing we can look for.
Mr. Gladney?
Yeah, John, do you by any chance know where the university is planning on siting their wind turbines? Because I've heard that mentioned at university gatherings, and they sound like it's something that they're going to do. So I'm assuming it's not going to be in the county. Do you know that?
It is going to be in Champaign County, the last I knew. They will be university-owned, so they can build them wherever they want. Okay. And the last I heard, Matt, I thought it was going to be on the Old South Farms area south of Windsor and east of First Street. But they are going to be university-owned, so,
okay.
You know.
Like place they could put us on Curtis or... Ridge Road, east, west of Ridge Road on that moraine, the only place out there where that had worked. They just bought a farm where I think they could put it.
Mr. Kurtz?
Has the university set out any parameters on, or they're just going to put up wind tunnels, wind turbines as they feel fit, close together? Do they have any kind of...
The last I heard, they were only proposing to do two. It's really more, I think, as a demonstration than anything else. I mean, they're not going to provide a significant amount of their power, but they feel the need to do something, and they were looking at two, the last I heard.
Thank you.
Mr. Weibel?
So you're saying university, they can build the towers anywhere they want to? What's their zoning out on their property?
Well, they're ag too, but they're the state, and anything that's state-owned is exempt from county zoning.
Oh, well, I've learned something today. Thank you.
And you know, we could, they would be willing to go through a public hearing, but frankly, I don't see the use of going through a public hearing if it can't amount to any specific requirements.
I would agree.
Mr. Kurtz?
Do you know if they're going to do their own building of this, or have they contracted someone that we might be able to contact and talk to about wind turbines?
Well, they're going to have to contract with the wind turbine builder.
But can we find out who that might be? We have no jurisdiction, obviously, but just an inquiry certainly wouldn't hurt. I'd like to find out, maybe contact those people and see what they think about wind turbines in our county.
We can find out who they're, if they have anyone identified yet. Actually, I thought this project was going to be underway by now, but I don't think it is, so I can double-check with the university representatives and get that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Leaning more toward special use or a county board special use?
Well, it's got to be a county board special use at this point. The question is, should there be a map amendment along with it? If you look at our zoning ordinance, there's only a couple other things in our zoning ordinance that have a 1,000-foot separation requirement from adjacent dwellings. And I know that would make some people say, oh, my gosh, that thing is so bad it's got to be 1,000 feet from adjacent dwellings. That surely needs something more than ag zoning. I think that a wind farm is such an unusual thing that you can't look at it the way we look at everything else. I'm hoping that this thing will be nothing more than a county board special use permit. But the other thing that model ordinance is conspicuously silent on is what kind of approvals are reasonable for a wind farm. And that's another thing we want to find out. Did those folks, you know, were they just unprepared to say that something like this really requires a special map amendment. I doubt that they'll actually have much to say in that regard. I hope it doesn't need to be anything more than a county board special use permit, but I can't say that yet.
Mr. Eukins had a lot of experience in Bureau County when he was Farm Bureau manager up there, and I'd like to hear what he's got to say about how they handled that.
Microphone, please.
I'm sorry. What is your name?
Yes. Brad Eukin. Brad Eukin from the Champaign County Farm Bureau. Ralph, your question actually is in a memo, I think, from John Hall. It states who funded that, the attorneys from Chicago. It's a Green Energy Foundation funded that study for that model ordinance. I just looked at that after you asked that question. So that is in that material. So you could say it was an environmental group. I guess you could assume that. I didn't say it was. It appears like it could sound that way. Basically, the point is Mr. Moser's right. When I was served in the same capacity in Bureau County, that was the siting of one of the first wind farms in Illinois. And so they went through very extensive hearings through their ZBA. They went through 80-some hours of testimony, so it was a very long process, many, many drawn-out nights of that. After a few speakers, it all got to be very repetitive. The same people, different people came up and said the same thing. There are a couple projects, as John has talked about, proposed for Champaign County. From it on paper, from a landowner standpoint, it looks like there's some great benefits to the landowner from a profitability standpoint. There are a number of ordinances that are out there, as John said, they've reviewed, and there's some good ones, and we've got the Farm Bureau has some opinions on which ones we think are fair and really cover a lot of the details that are in there. So I'm more than willing to work with Mr. Hall on that as well. So
he did do special use on those.
They did do special use permits, and they were one special use permit for all of them. They were not individualized, and I have spoke with my counterpart in McLean County, and they too did one special use permit for all the entire project. It was not a special use permit for each tower, so there was not per se 130 or 200 special use permits. There was a single special use permit for the entire project.
What kind of bond did they require up there when they built those?
Similar, they had to put down bond money in advance. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but they had to put it down in advance for the deconstruction or taking the towers down in 20 years. That actually, from what I know of talking with my counterparts, that's now fairly common. At the time, being one of the first ones being proposed, they were not planning on doing that, and the county came in and said, no, you must do something for decommissioning. In the end, they did agree to that, and again, now from what I know, and John can correct me if I'm wrong, that is very common in virtually in every ordinance that there's a decommissioning bonding fund put together.
To go back to Mr. Langenheim's question, if you look on the second page of this draft, it says quite clearly that this document was drafted by the Chicago Environmental Law Clinic and funded by the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation.
Right.
So that's... No. Yeah, turn it over. There you go.
Brad, have you had any contact with anybody south of Sidney or is it all up in Compromise?
In October of 2007, I attended a meeting at Kennedy's at Stone Creek. There was, if any of you have been there, above the pro shop, I don't know how many golfers we have, but above the pro shop upstairs is a large banquet room. That room was filled with landowners from Champaign, Vermilion, Douglas, and Edgar counties to hear an initial presentation by a company, the same company that did the McLean County project. They were doing their initial meeting with landowners. They were looking for leases to be signed that night, and they were looking for leases to be signed specifically for test towers. It is my understanding that they have indeed did get some leases signed and there are test towers up. I cannot confirm, though, whether those are in Champaign County or Vermilion or Douglas counties. I cannot verify where those are at, but it's my understanding there are test towers up down that direction for this project. They did walk through that evening a long list of, in my mind, hoops they have to jump through to get this, to get these type of projects sited. And so there was, seemed to be that evening, a lot of interest from landowners. Again, there is some definite advantage, no question about it, to landowners who get these. Now, I will tell you that I did share this with John and Barb. They were also offering money to adjacent landowners. So, Steve, if you got a tower and my property was next to yours and I didn't get one, they were calling that a good neighbor policy that they were doing. I do not have the exact numbers what they were offering me, but they would offer me money to not get a tower on my property that was adjacent to yours. I do not know how far they went out, whether that was just the adjacent property or was it the one then adjacent to me again. I don't know that, but they were offering a good neighbor policy where they, again, would give me money if I didn't get a tower on my property, but you did, Steve, and I was adjacent to you.
You know, if they were on that moraine south of Broadlands or the one north?
They were going south of Broadlands, if I remember right. They had a very large map, and similar to what the group up in Compromise is looking at, thousands of acres they were looking had sort of encompassed with their map. So,
regarding Bureau County, I remembered I had Bureau County on my list of counties to contact, and as I contacted Livingston and LaSalle and Woodford, they all said their ordinance was based on Bureau County. So I ended up actually not contacting Bureau County after I spent so much time with those folks. But, Bureau County was apparently one of the first ones with an ordinance like this.
Mr. Weibel?
John or Mr. Moser, do you know what the Vermilion County is doing in preparation for this? Are they doing anything? Or?
Well, take anything they can get over there. They don't have any zoning.
Okay.
There's like four. Nobody wants to live up there, and they got no tax base, so why wouldn't they? You know what the taxes run on those things, Brad?
I do not know a specific number. What had been part of the controversy when these first started being located in Illinois, there was no standardized assessment process for those. The state of Illinois a couple years ago did pass statewide a standardized assessment process. So there's no question how the assessor will handle that because that's already established in state statute. But as regards to a specific figure, I do not know a specific figure.
I think Jenkins does. I asked him to look that up, and I haven't had time to get back to it.
Any other comments, questions? I'm surmising from the discussion that we want Mr. Hall to pursue drafting an ordinance to this effect?
Well, I'd like to have an ordinance just in case somebody comes in here because they're not going to go auction any of that property if they know they're not going to use it.
Right. Mr. Kurtz?
You're saying we already have some wind turbines up in the county?
That you know of?
No, there are no wind turbines to the best of my knowledge. What the company down towards the Sydney Broadlands was doing was looking at putting test towers up, and I cannot confirm if any of those ended up in Champaign County. Those could have been in Vermilion or Douglas counties. I don't know that.
They about got to be in Douglas. If they went south Broadlands, there's no place except on that ridge 2 miles south and straight up from Newman where they'd even consider it.
Mr. Langenheim, use your microphone, please.
Does anybody have any idea exactly what a test tower is?
Basically, there's two important things with wind. When you do a wind project, it's consistency and velocity. You want to be able to test both of those. How often does the wind blow, and is it a sustained speed? Those are the two key factors, too. Then the third one is close to power line transmission. Your run-of-the-mill power line transmission, when you drive down a rural road, there, that will not handle a wind farm. You've got to have high voltage lines. And if you look at where they're locating, they'll be close to a high voltage wind power line. So those three things are probably the key things.
So these test towers that are meteorological observation stations.
And I don't know how tall they are. I cannot answer that, Ralph.
They're not turbines.
No, they are not turbines. They just, yes, they're simply measuring how often the wind blows and at what speeds, and it's recording that data.
Thank you.
Are those at Paw Paw and Bureau, or are they in Ogle?
There are wind turbines, several projects up in that area. There's some in Bureau County. There's some in Marshall Putnam County. There's some in Lee County, DeKalb County. That area is a very prevalent for windy conditions and wind turbine projects. So they are multiple different companies up there that have built facilities.
Mr. Schrader?
They're close enough to Chicago. There's plenty of air coming out of Chicago. Steve's right. We need to move on this, change this ordinance, and get this straightened up. Because if they're in Douglas, there's no ordinance in Douglas. They'll just roll right through Ford Vermillion and do an end around through Douglas. And we'll be sitting here. And if there's any way, northeast part of the county and that south Broadlands, that maybe even that moraine there south of Sydney can get involved in. Those townships could use some revenue down there. And to generate electricity would be beneficial to this area. So move on.
Might be able to put Longview back on the map.
I don't think these are miracle workers, but... Okay. So, John, you got your marching orders?
Yes.
Okay. I think all we need is a consensus. Since we already have some work done on this, then we're just giving the nod to go ahead and continue to do the work on it. So I don't think we need a motion at this time. Okay. Let's move right along. Next is our monthly reports.
I have to apologize again. I don't have monthly reports. I've been trying to get the wind farm proposal put together, so that's been actually my top priority. So I'll have to, I don't have those for this month.
Okay. I think we'll drop down to item 14 and 15, and then we'll go into closed session, so that when we come back in, back to open session, all we'll have to do is adjourn. So, is there any other business? Just by way of an announcement, there is a meeting on Thursday.
Yes.
Thursday of the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium. This is at 10 o'clock in the morning over at the Water Building, Illinois State Water Survey Building. They will be talking about the status of the Water Resource Special Task Force Group that is in operation.
We handed out copies of this.
Okay. So, if anyone's interested, please go.
Just for the record, I'll be going to that.
Okay. Items for the consent agenda should be the two entertainment and recreation licenses. No, those don't go to the board. That's right. Sorry. Let's see. The zoning case.
That's all.
Yeah, and item 10 is the only item that will go on the consent agenda. The other zoning case will go on the regular agenda. And that's about it. Okay. Let me see. We are going to go into closed session for a few minutes. Mr. Jones, would you make the motion?
I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C1 to consider the employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of an employee. Further move that the following individuals remain present, the recording secretary.
Second. Motion's been made, seconded by Mr. Langenheim.
To adjourn.
Motion made by Mr. Kurtz, seconded by... Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Anderson? All those in favor say aye.
Too many motions.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Damn awful. That moment of agonized silence.